sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world, like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I'm thrilled to be here with you. This segment of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product, which you'll hear about a little bit later in the show. Today, my question for you, and this again, this is a question for men. How should men, and all the men out there, I'm asking you this, how should you be treating your partner from the aspect of seduction right down to the sexual act? I don't know how much thought you've given to it. I know men give a lot of thought to performance, and I know they also have a lot of performance anxiety, like all kinds of things, from erections to did they do enough foreplay, is the woman hot enough, all this kind of stuff. And yet, it seems that women still complain. I'm talking about like in straight couples right now or straight partnerings, because maybe we're not even talking about couples, but women still complain about how fast men go and about not being seduced properly. And I have some of my own pet peeves about this as a single woman. So my guest today is going to talk a little bit about this. His name is Mark Pierce. He's a physician. He's an MD. He graduated from UCI Medical School, and then he completed internal medicine at Orange County Medical Center. He's been in private practice for 30 years in multiple areas of medicine. He's been in primary care. He's been in intensive care. He's been in diabetes education, drug and alcohol addiction, physical medicine, and oncology, and currently his practice is in urgent care. But what makes Mark so special in terms of being a sexual expert is really his interest in human sexuality. He knows a lot about men's physiology. We've done a show about men's physiology and sexual performance before. And he's also married to the famous, or we could say the infamous, Nancy Sutton Pierce, who's the creator of the Eroticos Film Festival that you all know I've been involved with. And Nancy is one hot woman, and to keep up with a woman like Nancy or to even be with, you've got to be one hot man. So Mark, it is my pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me again, Lori. Yes, Nancy is my sexual credentials, and we have a wonderful relationship, full of energy, always new, always experimenting, always trying to find the edge and keep it exciting, fun, and loving. Couldn't ask for more, and Nancy does like trying to pass that on. We're both medical providers, and we get great joy. We're yogis. We get great joy in trying to pass on our life's experiences, and if other people benefit from them, we're happy. That's a big part of our joy. But yes, men, we do struggle a bit, and I tease a little bit about this because it comes down a lot to attitude. Wouldn't think that that's where I would start. You need to get beyond being a selfish lover. You just have to admit to yourself, whoa, you know, am I aware of my partner's needs? Am I meeting her needs? And if you start there, you are way ahead of the curve. And in terms of trying to have a very, very spirited sexual relationship.
Well, you say that really just definitively, Mark. And it for me, when I hear you say that, I know that it's kind of easy because you're with a very outspoken woman and powerful woman. She may not have always been that way. Maybe you had to fish things out of her at some point in your relationship. So speak a little bit to that, because women, you know, are trained to not go directly after what they want sexually. So how does a man get the straight answers out of his partner if she was trained to not speak about it?
It is a cat and mouse kind of a thing, a yin and a yang. I use the concept of a glide path, because a new relationship is certainly different than a relationship that has developed a lot of healthy communication skills. The time frame and the length of the relationship is going to have some bearing on what you can expect sexually. But you still have to go back to the fact that men sometimes are just a little bit too much in it for themselves. And if they just open their eyes and realize that if they make their partner happy, they will be much more gratified just from that, because it comes back to you tenfold. And
there's no question in my mind that a filled up and happy, juicy woman is so generous. A happy, juicy woman has no complaints with the world. She looks better. She glows. Everyone knows. Everyone could tell a woman that's not happy sexually because she looks like a dried up prune. So
Exactly. Now, you know, there are, you know, testosterone we talked about in our last segment. It is a hormone that helps men feel sexual and energized. We are aggressive, and it's okay to express that aggressiveness. Women expect that. They like it. They appreciate it. From being carried over the threshold to lifted into bed to being undressed, they like that aggressiveness, but it's not healthy if it's a selfish aggressiveness. Then it starts to almost feel abusive. You know, that's the extreme, but you have to keep it in perspective that way, and if men will just be a little less selfish, I think that things go a lot better for them.
Really, I like what you said. I mean, there's a factoid, kind of a little-known factoid that I've been saying a lot on the show, which has to do with the time for things. So men, when they're excited, someone could touch their penis immediately. Like within the first minute, they wouldn't mind direct touch right on their sexual organ. But for women, women don't want somebody to just reach in and touch their clitoris. Like it takes some time to be stimulated. I've read studies where it's said it takes 25 minutes for a woman to be fully aroused by talk and kissing and perhaps arousing foods and different things. It takes a woman a while to get started. It's more of a mental seduction. So if men just reach right into her pants or her panties, that doesn't work for women so much, but women don't always say. They don't always say, that doesn't work for me. Stop doing that.
Well, I think the seduction can begin as soon as the two people meet and have that connection. Of course, if you're already married, then it could just be set aside time that you know is going to be used for sexual intimacy and that type of thing. Men do have a problem in that if they get excited too quickly, then they can actually fall off the curve just as the girl is getting ready to be sexual. So timing is everything, but we can get it going. I think it's just a case of being able to communicate and to let each other know how they're doing as you proceed.
I know that, for example, that I've had men tell me that they lose sensation in wearing prophylactics and that they have to take it off for a little while. That doesn't mean that we're going to have intercourse while it's off, but it just means that they need a breather. And so I think that's good communication to have, too, for people out there who are using that form of protection from STDs and birth control.
No, the seduction begins with a dance, with a kiss, with a touch, simply just taking a little more time to get undressed. Men know that women take this length of time to get going. This is not new knowledge. And that's why I was pretty strong at saying that if they're not acknowledging that, they're being selfish lovers, and they need to just step back and prepare their partner and be more concerned about their partner's needs than they are their own, because it will come back to them tenfold.
Yeah, you said that. Well, let's talk a little bit about people's body condition. Like, I know that men like to try a lot of different sex positions, and I feel that men need to do yoga or something that keeps them in great shape so they can do those positions. And women need to do it too. I mean, as people age, they start to lose their muscle tone and they start to get out of shape. And I don't think there's any reason for that. I think people can still be wild lovers well in their 60s and 70s and maybe even 80s if they do yoga and they stay in shape. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. And you know, part of being sexual is to have that sexual energy throughout the day, not just to come home and expect it to be turned on in a moment. So you're over at the gym and you're doing your exercises and you're strengthening your lower abs and you're doing your Kegels. Guys can do kind of a similar exercise, you know, tightening up those perineal muscles. Think about sex. Think about your girl. Think about how good that's going to feel. You can make exercise be part of the whole sexual experience as well. And then, of course, being in good condition, exercise is very physical. The better shape you're in, the more you can do, the more fun you have. So
I have to add something. I usually have men do what I call dick ups, and that is placing a wet washcloth on an erect penis in the shower and raising that washcloth up and down, up and down, up and down. And then there comes a point where that's not heavy enough, just like in the gym where lifting this amount of pounds isn't heavy enough anymore because we get in better shape, and then the muscles for training want to have higher resistance, so they need higher weights. So then I say they should do a towel. They should take a towel and hang it over their erect penis and lift that up and down, up and down. And then when that gets too light, they should do it with a wet towel and then graduate to a beach towel. And then I always joke with the men in my classes and I say, and then you should try cinder blocks.
when you contract that muscle and you pull a hard erection up against that G-spot, that's pretty stimulating for the ladies. Just easing in the opening there, right in the opening, listen to your partner, and you can tell when it's right in the right position. And if you have that strength, you can absolutely drive them crazy. And that's a powerful feeling. Men like to feel powerful, so prepare for it and get ready for it. And if you have a great relationship, in the shower, if you're showering together, your partner can help you exercise. You know, it's all part of that the sex play and the sex game. It's a lot of fun. But that's essential. You know, that's a key part of the male's way to performance, is to be able to pull that erection up against their G-spot.
Men don't even know that. So it's wonderful that you have that experience and you can speak to that, Mark. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, I have a lot of things I want to ask you about, especially about keeping it edgy and fresh, how you, in a couple, and how long have you been married for, the two of you?
19 in November.
So, okay, so you're going on, you've passed the 7-year itch, you've passed some of these markers, the 7-year itch in today's society is 3 years, so how you keep it fresh and kind of on the edge. That's very important for people to know and to hear from you. And then I also want to talk about what it is to leave women whole, because a lot of my audience is not partnered. A lot of my audience are single people, and there are some things I have to say to men, and I know you will have to need to say to men, too, about how they can leave sex partners whole when they leave, when it's over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes both ways that way, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be right back. If you have just tuned in, I am speaking with Mark Pierce, Dr. Mark Pierce, who is a physician who not only knows about male sexual function and has talked with me about that at length, but also who is in a partnership where he and his wife, Nancy Sutton Pierce, keep things fresh. And we're getting the male perspective, and this is really important. We'll be right back.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Hi again, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm speaking with Mark Pierce today, who is an MD, who's worked in various aspects of medicine, and he's now bringing to us his really personal life, his life about his sexuality, how he feels about male sexuality, how he feels being with his partner, and how the things we're going into now is about how they keep it fresh, how they've decided to keep it fresh, and what's edgy for them. So, Mark, without further ado, how do you keep it fresh?
You know, you have to be a little experimental. And again, our yoga helps us because both of us are non-judgmental as to the outcome. We realize it's the play that's important and the willingness to play. I am always thinking about what the next thing I can do to Nancy to drive her crazy. And it always stays different and a little edgy. We recently got a Wii Vibe with a remote control, and I took Nancy out to a restaurant, asked her to place it up inside of her, and while we were having dinner out on the at the restaurant, I was playing with the remote control and watching her eyes curl and look up and cross, and by the time I got her home, she was well warmed up for our sexual time. It's fun to talk while you're having sex. People get a little inhibited. Ladies like to know that the men really want them and desire them. So tell them how much you're enjoying their body, the parts of their body. Grab them in a way that is confident and let them know that you're enjoying them. I think that that's a real turn on for Nancy and other people as well.
I like the expression handle. Like, I think it's really, of course, that's my last name, Handlers, but I like the expression how someone handles, how a partner handles their partner, like handles them with confidence. Their
exactly.
Hands, like they have confidence. All that confidence shoots through the whole body, things they're saying and the way their hands are touching and moving.
With Nancy on a day off, I will tease and play with her throughout the day. She's in her office. I'll swing her chair around. Slide down between her legs, and I was, you know, kind of sneak underneath her clothing and just feel her bottom, and it feels really good. And so I'll tease her, and I'll say, well, I wonder what this is going to feel like when you're coming. And even if I don't go any further, that's driving her crazy. So I keep Nancy on edge throughout the day, and I'm always trying to be kind of creative. Now, we have this great communication because if I do something that's uncomfortable, I know she's going to tell me, and I don't take it personal because she knows I'm trying to come up with something original, and she's just saying, oh, let's go a little different direction. So I just go a little different direction. I don't run off in the other room all embarrassed that I tried something. Now, it is a little bit more difficult when you don't know the person as well, so that does make it a little more, probably the reason that new sex is a little bit more edgy because you don't really know. You know, you don't want to be embarrassed and that type of thing. I'm trying to think, the nipples. Nipples are neglected. And men are often way too rough with nipples. You have to make them ache before you tease them. And then after you tease them, there will be a rush. If you listen to your partner, they'll give you almost like a yoga breath where they exhale. And I just know that she's getting bathed in hormone, prolactin hormone.
Yeah.
Makes her much more receptive and relaxed. And Nancy calls it the magical triangle when I tease her nipples and then go down on her with my tongue. She's in seventh heaven. That's one of her favorites. And I'll do that just for a few minutes and then make her wait for the evening. There's nothing wrong with having to wait as long as you don't go to a point of where there's total frustration and that type of thing. So we have all kinds of ways to experiment. You know, you can experiment with toys, you can play. We've been teasing around the edges of the bondage thing that's popular with 50 Shades. And so a whip being used gently, we're not trying to draw blood. It's more of just the idea that you have that control, and the way you talk to them makes you feel like you're in control. Again, they like that aggressiveness. Nancy does, without the ego. And all of those things can keep life very, very, very spicy and sexy.
Well, I wanted to say to you also that you could start the seduction days before. You could do text messages with sexy messages in them.
Absolutely. Yes, we sex text. I get mad at her when she's sex texting with all these guys online that she likes to tease, and I'm not getting enough, so I get a little jealous, you know.
You have changed your relationship in a certain way. You two have permission to flirt with and have things with different people. How does that work? Because jealousy and possession come in, you know, that could be the single killer of all this fun for people, because people get jealous and possessive about their partners.
Well, it has to be well thought out and mutual. The communication lines have to be good, but this falls in line with me wanting, and Nancy as well, wanting us to both be able to live our authentic life. And if you have judgment or restrictions or barriers, then you can't be as authentic. And so we work hard in all aspects, careers and sexuality, to not have those barriers. And it actually improves our sexual time, our sexual play. It does take a bit of confidence, and I can't tell you that there aren't at times when you struggle a little bit, even under the most confident scenarios. We've ventured out and we've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
That's great.
It isn't, you know, the word swinger. We struggle with that a little bit because we don't necessarily crave the lifestyle. We want to be able to be authentic and do what we feel we'd like to be doing, and it works out great.
That's great, Mark. Thanks for sharing that. Now, I have this thing about leaving each other whole. I've been talking to men in my life about it. I find often when people are single or newly single and they're finding relating to somebody that they might want to relate to sexually, I've found that often men who have a great evening with me or a friend of mine then don't call. They don't call after, and I feel like, and personally, I feel like men confuse the next step as marriage with simply just calling and saying, thinking about you, thanks for filling me up. I was really able to have a great day today as a result of being with you yesterday. Like there's this reluctance to follow up. They kind of don't know what to do, and it's a pet peeve of mine when men lead up to having a great time with a woman, whether it's buying her three dinners, which is like the traditional thing ahead of time, or at least at minimum seducing her after meeting and feeling like, wow, they really have a chemistry. And then the chemistry happens, and then the woman feels often like, well, how come this guy doesn't call me? I don't want to marry him, but he's not calling. Like, what's up with that? Do you have any suggestions along those lines?
There is certain etiquette, and you do have to realize that sexual time is a very powerful force, and it's almost an obligation to call and let that person know that you had a great experience, so that they're not feeling that there was something deficient or wrong with them, or because all those doubts will creep into each person's mind when it occurs. And as it stands right now, the gals are not going to call the guys. It's really the guys. That's the chivalrous thing to do. And I think it actually starts even after you've been sexual. What I thought you might be bringing up is that sometimes when those hormones wear off and you're not in a relationship, you know, you're ready to go. You're ready to bolt off and be out of there. The sex drive, the energy's gone. Why am I here? And you're out of there. And you have to really resist that. It's not respectful on both parties. You have to lie there, decompress, not kind of just let that moment evolve a little bit further before you head on your way, so that both people realize that it was a good experience and that there was nothing to be ashamed of or doubt.
That's so great. I mean, so many men that I've talked to, they move on. I'm just saying this because I'm a woman, so I'm talking about men that I talk to about this.
We do have a tendency, once we lose that sexual urge, you know, we really do have much more of an on-off switch. If that switch is off, we're not thinking about it. It's not that we intend to be neglectful. We just have to be a little bit more mindful. And it will work out better for us if it does. And that's part of that selfishness. Don't be selfish. Yeah. Realize that this person risks a lot of their feelings, their energy to be sexual with you. You know, go the whole distance. Don't stop short. Spend a little time afterwards and then call them the next day and let them know that you had a great experience. It does not mean that you're obligated to do it again. It's an acknowledgement of what's happened, not what's to come. And
I like the word acknowledgement, Mark. Thanks for that. And I like to feel that it's leaving people whole and complete, like leaving them whole and complete, not taking from them without giving, but just leaving everything whole and complete.
That's a great, you know, you've practiced yoga so long, you frame your life and your world in yoga. And as I get to know you more and more, I really appreciate that. That's a great way to experience life.
Thank you. Well, let's tell people how they can get in touch with you. They want to hear more. I think this topic is very understated and very necessary, so I appreciate you so much for risking talking about your personal sex life with me on a show, and having come from both backgrounds, like the scientific medicine background and also what it takes to be a great lover. You could be a great doctor and a great lover. Thank you, Mark.
Absolutely. Well, in the yoga world, we ask people to be non-judgmental. So if people are listening to this and they don't agree, I would just ask them to be non-judgmental of me. I'm living a very authentic and healthy life. I hope I can help somebody else. You know, that's always our primary motivation.
You're having a great time, and a lot
absolutely
of people are not.
Absolutely, yeah. If you have other questions, mark@hetoambassador.com.
Okay.
Mark, M-A-R-K, @hetoambassador.com.
And it's Mark and with a K. M-A-R-K.
Mark with a K. And if you can't reach me for some technical reason, then Nancy is obviously will be able to forward any questions you might have or any way that I might be able to help you. So
people can reach Nancy at eroticosfilm.com.
Right.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. You're doing great work. We're appreciating that more, and we'll have a long relationship with you for sure.
Well, everybody, stay tuned. My next guest is going to give us some more wisdom and advice about being happy and having sexy lives. So please stay tuned. This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And in this half, I have some really important information for you. First, I want to ask you this question. Did you know that when women have reconstructive surgery after radical mastectomy, they get breasts all right, but often they get no nipples? I don't know if you knew that or not. I didn't know it because I'm not a survivor of breast cancer, so I didn't know it until I actually met this guest. And maybe you know this and maybe you don't. Maybe you've suffered and you're listening to the show and you're somebody who's had radical mastectomy and then reconstructive surgery and your breasts look great when they're inside your bra, but they don't look so great when they're outside your bra because you don't have nipples. I don't know. If you're listening, listen up because this is a show for you. My guest today is the founder of Bridging the Gap Foundation. It's the only 501c3 nonprofit organization created to educate, empower, and assist women with their complete aesthetic recovery. Not only are women surviving and thriving after breast cancer, but thanks to Bridging the Gap Foundation, they're also feeling whole, sexy, and beautiful. Rochelle Hall, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
It's great to have you. And really, I don't know if you knew that, but I didn't know that women didn't always get their breasts looking right again when they got reconstructive surgery until I met you. You told me. You educated me.
That's right. And that's what the passion of Bridging the Gap Foundation is. A picture is worth a thousand words, so I often pass out informational flyers that have a before picture of a woman that's had a radical mastectomy due to breast cancer and has been reconstructive, but is left with white breast mounds and no nipples or areola color. And when I pass out these cards, women that are my age, I'm 50 years old, older and younger women all look at me and go, oh my God, they take your nipples? And I tell them yes, and they don't give them back. So that's what we do, is we make sure the girls look like girls after they've survived breast cancer and mastectomy surgery and are left without nipples and areola color.
Wow. So they have like mounds, like the skin and the tissue doesn't really have tanning or anything like that from when they were out in the sun. So they just must look like these two little white mountains, or if it's a woman of color, like light beige, as opposed to her own color that she's had from years of exposure.
Often women tell me they feel like they have Barbie boobs, because you know Barbie has no nipples and areola.
Or the mannequins inside of the stores when they put them in the window and they don't put clothes on.
Exactly, exactly. And that's where our big mission is, to make sure that every woman looks and feels like a real, whole, natural woman again. Because after people come and have the solution to this problem, which is a procedure that I call breast aesthetics.
Yeah.
And it's an easy 45-minute procedure that can make a woman look and feel whole and natural again.
And what is that procedure? That sounds amazing. 45 minutes and a woman can look whole. Now, I've met some of these women. We'll get to that shortly. But what is the procedure?
The procedure is actually a form of tattooing. So we're actually putting color into the skin in a highly specialized art form that creates the illusion of nipples and areola where there is none at all, to make a flat surface look three-dimensional. Because oftentimes what women don't know is that the integrity of the skin after it's been stretched after the mastectomy surgery or possibly radiation due to their treatment plan, they can't create a three-dimensional nipple protrusion. So with this procedure, we can make it look like a three-dimensional nipple.
That's amazing. So that's like an art form.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, wow. And they can't even, you're not the doctor performing the surgery, but they can't even like take the, I know when they have breast augmentation or when they have breast reduction surgery, they take all this skin around the breast and reduce it or make it bigger, they can take the nipple and sew it back on again in a certain way. Why can't they do that in reconstructive surgery? Or won't they do it?
Oftentimes, the nipple is where it's ductal carcinoma. So it's actually in the ducts. So that's why, that's where the cancer is.
Oh, that is. Oh.
So that's what we don't think through. And again, we have such great information out there about early detection and we think through, people have mastectomy surgery, they get reconstruction. But we never think this part all the way through. And that's why when I lecture on this subject, I call this the forgotten final phase.
It's just amazing. So must affect millions of women worldwide, maybe a billion women worldwide. And if women are lucky enough to get reconstructive surgery, some women don't opt for that. That's another whole consideration, and I don't know your experience with that or not. I mean, have you dealt with many women who don't opt for that, or mostly you deal with the women who opt for it?
Mostly the women that do opt for it. And what we're seeing now is so many young women. I see women in their 20s all the time. A week ago, I saw a young girl, 18 years old, still had braces on, who just had a double mastectomy. And we're seeing more of this because...
That's shocking.
Absolutely shocking. And they're doing it prophylactically, which means they haven't even had cancer yet, but perhaps they've seen a mother go through this.
A grandmother, somebody, a close relative.
Aunts. Mm-hmm. So that's a personal decision. I'm certainly not passing judgment or saying that that's something that I would advocate. But my mission is, no matter what people's choices are, to know that they can look like whole, beautiful, sexy girls again.
Now, I went to a fundraiser that you had not long ago in Scottsdale, Arizona, and at least four of these women got up and spoke, maybe more, but I remember four in particular. And they were talking about how they feel sexier now than they might have even felt before when they had their natural breasts. There were a few who had very small breasts before, and then when they had their reconstructive surgery, they decided to go bigger, and then you made it, by putting these tattooed nipples on them, that you made it possible for them to, like, really feel hot.
Absolutely. And we did a beautiful book last year, An Intimate Portrait of Beauty Beyond Breast Cancer, with some of these same girls in fabulous lingerie in boudoir settings. The one girl that you were talking about is cute. She always said, I traded up. I was an emaciated size A, and now I always introduce her as the hottest chick in the room.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's beautiful, and she's your poster child. There's no question about it. But now, why would you do a book of this? You know, like, what was it to get fundraising, or was it to actually for education?
It's really for education. When a woman sees another woman that's gone through this ordeal, and so often it's another woman that she's met along the path that lifts up her shirt and looks whole and real and natural, that a woman has a big sigh of relief and goes, okay, I can do this.
Because I can make it through.
The first thing a woman hears is, first of all, your hair's all going to fall out because we're giving you chemotherapy. Then we're going to take your breasts off. And that's the kind of news that they're getting. Nobody's giving any good news and light at the end of the tunnel. So my passion is really to show them these beautiful photos going, no, it's going to be okay. Here we are in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I always say, hey, half the girls in Scottsdale already have fake boobs, you know? Think of it that way. And it gives a little mind twist that it's like, oh, yeah, wow, this doesn't have to be that devastating mutilation that people often think it to be.
Yeah, it's so good. You're so sensitive to that, and it really it adds something and brings something that people need to know, that there's this option for them. Well, we're going to take a slight break here. When we come back, there's a lot of things I want to ask you about. One is, I want to talk about insurance. Does insurance cover all of this? I don't even know that, because, as I say, I haven't gone through this. I want to know how you developed this passion. Like, what, one day you woke up and you said, this is what I'm going to do. How did you get the passion? And the third thing I want to talk about when we come back is how people can get involved in a big way. Because there may be people, this show goes out to 100,000 listeners, and there may be people right there listening saying, what can I do to help this? This happened to me. This happened to my best friend. This happened to my mother. This happened to somebody I know. How can I help them get their breasts feeling like they're real breasts again, looking like they're real breasts again, and help their self-esteem so that, what you said, the devastating effects of cancer don't stay with them forever and ever and ever. So if you just tuned in, you are listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. My guest today is Rochelle Hall, and she's the founder of Bridging the Gap Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization created to educate, empower, and assist women with complete aesthetic recovery. That means have them feel and know that their breasts look like real breasts rather than Barbie breasts. So when we come back, I have a lot of things to ask Rochelle, because I know I want to know them, and I'm pretty sure you want to know these things too. So stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Well, Sex and Happiness is back, and I'm Lori Handlers. My guest today is Rochelle Hall. Not only is she a really good friend of mine, but she has educated me so much about the whole process of what happens to women when they get radical mastectomy, and how they come home excited to have breasts again and then look at themselves in the mirror and they don't feel quite whole, because these little or big parts of their breasts are not back again, which is their nipples and the areolas. So Rochelle is the founder of Bridging the Gap Foundation, and that's a foundation that helps fund women getting nipples tattooed onto their bodies so they start to look and feel beautiful again, like hopefully they did before the cancer, or maybe even more beautiful. So, Rochelle, first of all, talk to me about insurance, because someone at that fundraiser that I was at was talking about how you helped her fight. So what does that mean?
That's right. I've been doing this work, the procedure that I call breast aesthetics, for 23 years, and I thought all was well in the world because people come to me as a referral from their plastic reconstructive surgeon. And for years, just it was a fee basis, until a young woman came in, saw before pictures at 32 years old, was so excited to put breast cancer behind her and have her final procedure with me. A week later, she called in tears, canceling her appointment. And when I asked her why, she said because she called her insurance company and they told her it wasn't medically necessary for her to have nipples and areola. Wow. At 32 years old, this young woman was told, go home to your 8-year-old daughter and your husband with no nipples. And that's when I said, well, of course it's necessary. Come in and I'm going to, of course, take care of you. And this was before I knew about the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act, which I now cite daily to insurance companies that often don't know their own product. But when a 32-year-old is told that this is the answer, they put their head down in tears and go away thinking that their insurance isn't going to cover this. But because of the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act, it's actual federal mandate. So if your policy is such that you have coverage, then they should be covering that procedure for you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually lawful to return a woman's nipples to herself to have this procedure rather than whatever insurance companies are saying. And how, if someone had to just pay for this, can you give a ballpark figure of what this costs?
Sure. We bill out $5.95 per side, so for $1,200, but I always donate $200 of that of my service time because I believe that for under $1,000, every woman should have great-looking breasts with nipples and areola.
Wow, that's so great of you. So thank you. I mean, just thanks for saying that. So it's not terribly expensive, but for some women who couldn't afford it otherwise or who didn't have insurance.
Exactly. That's why we started the foundation. And the beautiful blonde girl that's just drop-dead gorgeous that was a spokesperson at our fundraiser as well lived for 6 years with white breast mounds while she was dating with no nipple and areola. And just from the experience of what these women come and tell me, you know, a woman won't get undressed at a spa or at her gym or even in dressing rooms. They're often afraid to get undressed that someone might walk in. And as women, rather than going, oh, because I would feel ashamed or I would feel this, it's always a concern about someone else. I don't want to freak somebody else out.
That my breasts don't look normal.
Mm-hmm. And again, how can you go home to an 8-year-old daughter without nipples and areola and explain that? That's,
yeah,
you know, really frightening for a child.
Wow. So it's, you know, this is much deeper than the surface. I mean, women are so insecure anyway about their bodies. Like if they're not a size 0 or a size 1 or 2, they feel totally fat. So they go through their whole life feeling fat. Then they don't feel as beautiful as the movie stars and the rock stars and all that. Who those women don't also feel beautiful, even though they are. And even though we are, women feel just so competitively 0 for most of their lives. And then to face this, like it becomes like a deformity, like having something not right about the body. And this was caused by a life-altering and devastating disease. Oh, it has to feel horrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I think we women tend to go into survival mode. And I mean, when they're first diagnosed, the first thing they do is start planning. Well, I've got to take care of my children, my husband, keep my job, get to my chemo appointments. And it's not till this final phase that a woman finally looks in the mirror after I do this 45-minute procedure. It's every time a woman looks in the mirror and cries and says, oh my God, I finally look like a woman again, and I made it. It's the I made it through this whole ordeal. It's the big sigh of, oh my gosh, I can move on now.
Hmm. It's really powerful. It's powerful and it's moving to be a woman who's observing these women, as I am, or to be a woman who's going through it as these women. You have the book. I know you're making a film. I know I'm going to be instrumental in that.
I'm very excited about that.
All my fans out there, you know that I'm into film now. And I'm suggesting that Rochelle make a documentary about these women and this process for the next Eroticos Film Festival in Jamaica. So if you keep hearing about it from me, it's because you're keeping hearing about it from me. And here's even another example of I'm going to have her either this year or for the next one submit a documentary about the process that these women go through, because I think it's so important and it could definitely win in the documentary category, even though I won't be a judge in the next ones, but I'll be there. So let me ask you this. First of all, let's give people the website, and then I want to ask you like how did you choose this to be your mission? Because I like to have people be inspired by other people's missions. The website, in case you want to donate funds to this foundation or find out more about this tattooing procedure for yourself, find out. Rochelle travels all over the United States on a regular basis. She lectures to physicians and possibly groups. Like, you will find out about that. But here's how you can find her right now. The website is B, like a bumblebee, B-E-E, involved.org. That's B-E-E, involved.org. So please go there and find out how you can donate today to make a tax-deductible donation to this organization, to this foundation. Now, Rochelle, how did you get picked for this job? How did your passion show up as this?
You know, people always ask me, are you a breast cancer survivor? Because I am so passionate about this cause. And I always say, no, but I'm the woman who for 20 plus years has held another woman's breast in my hand while tears roll down their face and I hear their stories. And I always say this wasn't a choice. This was definitely an assignment.
Yeah. So it's 23 years you've been doing this?
23 years I've been doing this. We were just a handful of us in this country. Really, this grew out of permanent makeup. So as much as that's been sort of my, shall we say, bread and butter business, doing eyebrows and eyeliner and lip color, this procedure came out of that industry. However, I also wrote a curriculum that's the first of its type for people all over the country that would feel that they have a calling to assist in doing work like this. I have a training program now that is the Breasthetics Training Program, where I teach women just breasts. Not because you can do beautiful eyebrows and eyeliner with permanent makeup, but that doesn't mean you're qualified to work on radiated breast tissue. Oftentimes these procedures are being done by people that don't know breast anatomy and physiology. It definitely does not belong in the land of tattoo artists.
I was just going to say, you don't walk into your regular tattoo parlor and say, okay, put a nipple on my breast.
Right. And again, I have nothing against beautiful, well done art on people's bodies, whoever choose to do that. But yes, this really requires knowledge of breast anatomy and physiology, plan of treatment that a woman's been through, you know, what a chemotherapy port is and the scars that come from that.
Okay, that's great. That's great. So if you're out there and you're looking for a career and you have some artistic ability and you had thought about permanent makeup, or you're a breast cancer survivor and you want to have the same kind of moving, I would say riveting experiences that Rochelle is having, then you definitely want to get in touch with her, because she has a training program. So again, you want to get in touch with B-E-E, involved.org. And the person you're contacting is Rochelle Hall, R-A-C-H-E-L-L Hall. What else you want to say about that?
We also have an 800 number. It's 1-800-343-3223.
Again, say that again, yeah.
1-800-343-3223.
So this is amazing. Now, your referrals, they come mostly from cosmetic surgeons or?
Mostly from the plastic reconstructive surgeons. However, one of the things that we're doing with the fundraising is to get these books into the hands of more physicians early on, the initial breast surgeons, the oncologists, because after this long ordeal that a woman's gone through, when she finally gets to me and she sees this beautiful book, they always say, why didn't anybody show me this in the beginning? It would have made me feel so much more comfortable. Husbands and wives together. one of the things, and I think that this is why this film is so exciting,
yeah,
is because we really need to empower women that being halfway finished doesn't have to be good enough. Now, this is every woman's choice to have nipples and a Rila, and certainly that's an individual decision. But somewhere we sort of got sold a little bill of goods. Well, you should be grateful that you're a survivor, and that should be good enough. You shouldn't feel like you have to go that extra mile and make it feel beautiful and right. Almost like we're being greedy to ask for that.
That's so wrong. Mm-hmm. First of all, we've been educated our whole lives that we can't go out of the house without lipstick, let alone go out of the house without a nipple. I mean, are they kidding? Who's saying this? This has to be an insurance company ploy. I don't know who this is, but I don't. We are sold everything, mascara, base makeup, 500 procedures for washing our face at night, all kinds of push-up bras and all kinds of things in the same industry, the same culture, the same country, the same Madison Avenue that wants to sell us everything and rule the world with the suckers that women are, and then doesn't want to give women back their whole breast.
Yet, you see, the whole nipple discussion is so taboo. I constantly get kicked off YouTube and pushed over into the land of porn because I can't show a breast cancer survivor naked breasts with beautiful breasthetics procedure looking whole and natural saying, I feel like a beautiful, sexy woman.
Oh,
that's
MG.
Amazing.
How far we haven't come.
Mm-hmm. And what so many women who haven't had the procedure done, when I lecture on this, again, talking about the forgotten final phase, it's amazing. At the breast cancer wellness cruise, I spoke to 250 breast cancer survivors who, after my lecture, were behind the stage curtain, lifting up their shirts, saying, look, me too. I haven't had nipples for 7 years. I haven't had nipples for 20 years. Can you help me? Because they don't even know that this procedure is available to them.
Well, Rochelle, I'm thrilled to know you. I'm thrilled that if anything should ever happen to me, I know you for that.
I got your back or your whatever.
Up front. And I'm thrilled to have you on my show so that other people can hear about this. Now, how many people about worldwide are doing this? Let's find out. Are they doing this in other countries?
Yes, certainly they are. I was really excited to have my first Irish student last summer that came from Ireland. Again, mm-hmm. Training a network of women all across the country, and certainly we need more people in other areas.
Okay. So about how many people do this worldwide, would you say?
That's going to be something I'm just going to stab in the dark. But again, when I have a girl from South Dakota call me, mm-hmm. because her plastic surgeon, first of all, talked to her about, God forbid, harvesting labial tissue to sew onto her breast just because it's pink to create the illusion of nipples and areola. And she looked at her husband and said, well, that doesn't sound good. And the doctor in South Dakota said, well, you can have it tattooed. Sent her to an honest-to-God tattoo parlor in South Dakota where she said she drove by it 3 times. She finally got the nerve to go in, and a woman with 2 teeth and blue hair came out and said, come with me, honey. We have a room in the basement where we do this.
Oh, no.
Yes. And that we deserve better. Every woman deserves better. And
yes.
That's why I created Bridging the Gap Foundation, as well as the training course.
Okay. And about how many have you trained?
Oh, we've trained a small handful, probably 30 women across the nation.
Okay. All right. So this is relatively new, everybody, but you want to find out about this. And everyone you know, every person that's had breast cancer and survived and who is walking around hiding herself afterwards, you want to know about this. So please get the word out there. That's beinvolved.org, beinvolved.org. Rochelle, thank you so much for being my guest today
on
Sex and Happiness. This is a really sexy topic that has to do with happiness. It couldn't get any better than this. Thank you. Everyone, please tune in next time when I will have an amazing guest actually talking about sexual fantasy coaching sessions.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-